Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Hare Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Samavasta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Gopinanandi ki jai, Glory to Samana Bodhis All, Glory to Samana Bodhis All, Glory to Samana Bodhis All, Glory to Shri Guru Chikaranga, Glory to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Guru Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacchade Chatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadana Shri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Vishma Bhava Canto 5 Chapter 10 Verse 1 Pisagu Vachata Sindhu Savirapate Raghu Rahuganasya Vrajata Ikshumacha Tate Tatkulapati Na Shivika Vaha Purush Anveshana Samaye Daivan Upasaditaha Sadvijavara Upalabdha Mesha Piva Yuva Samhananango Go Karavad Duram Bodam Alam Iti Pura Vishti Grihitai Saha Grihita Prasabham Atad Arha Uvaha Shibigam Sa Mahanubhava. Translation of Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after this, King Rahugana, ruler of the states known as Sindhu and Savira, was going to Kapilashram when the king's chief palanquin carriers reached the banks of the river Ikshumati. They needed another carrier, therefore they began searching for someone, and by chance they came upon Jatabharata. They considered the fact that Jatabharata was very young and strong and had firm limbs. Like cows and asses, he's quite fit to carry loads. Thinking in this way, although the great soul Jatabharata was unfit for such work, they nonetheless unhesitantly forced him to carry the palanquin. The palanquin, however, was very erratically carried by Jatabharata due to his sense of nonviolence. As he stepped forward, he checked before him every 3 feet to see whether he was about to step on ants. Consequently, he could not keep pace with the other carriers. Due to this, the palanquin was shaking, and King Rahugana immediately asked the carriers, why are you carrying this palanquin unevenly? Better carry it properly. Wherefore, although Jatabharata was forced to carry the palanquin, he did not give up his sympathetic feelings towards the poor ants passing on the road. A devotee of the Lord does not forget his devotional service and other favorable activities, even when he's in the most distressful condition. Jatabharata was a qualified Brahmin, a highly elevated in spiritual knowledge, yet he was forced to carry the palanquin. He did not mind this, but while walking on the road, he could not forget his duty to avoid killing even an ant. A Vaishnava is never envious or unnecessarily violent. There are many ants in the path, but Jatabharata took care by looking ahead 3 feet. When the ants were no longer in his way, he would place his foot on the ground. A Vaishnava is always very kind at heart to all of the entities. In his Sankhya Yoga, Lord Kapiladeva explains, Suhrada Sarvadeinam. Living entities assume different bodily forms. Those who are not Vaishnavas considered only human society worthy of the sympathy, but Krishna claims to be the Supreme Father of all forms. Consequently, the Vaishnava takes care not to annihilate ultimately or necessarily any life form. All living entities have to fulfill a certain duration for being engaged in a particular type of material body. They have to finish the duration allotted a particular body before being promoted or evolved to another body. Killing an animal or another living being simply places an impediment in the way of his completing his term of imprisonment in a certain body. One should therefore not kill bodies for one's sense gratification with this will implicate one's sinful activity. When the palanquin carriers heard the threatening words of Maharaj Rahugana, they became very afraid of his punishment and began to speak to him as follows. According to political science, the king sometimes tries to pacify his subordinates, sometimes chastises and sometimes derides them, sometimes rewards them. In this way, the king rules his subordinates. The bearers of the palanquin could understand the king was angry and he would chastise them. O Lord, please know that we are not at all negligent discharging our duties. We have been faithfully carrying this palanquin according to your desire, but this man who has been recently engaged in work with us cannot walk very swiftly, therefore we are not able to carry the palanquin with him. Purport, the other palanquin carriers, for Sudras, whereas Jatabharat was not only a high caste Brahmana, but also a great devotee. Sudras do not sympathize with other living beings, but a Vaishnava cannot act like a Sudra. Whenever a Sudra and a Brahmana Vaishnava are combined, there will certainly be imbalance in the execution of duties. The Sudras are walking with the palanquin without at all caring for the ants on the ground, but the Jatabharat could not act like a Sudra, and therefore difficulty arose. King Rahugana could understand the speeches given by the carriers, who were afraid of being punished. He could also understand that simply due to the fault of one person, the palanquin was not being carried properly. Knowing this perfectly well and hearing their appeal, he became a little angry. Although he was very advanced in political science and was very experienced, his anger arose due to his inborn nature as a king. Actually, King Rahugana's mind was covered by the mode of passion, and he therefore spoke as follows to Jatabharat, whose Brahmana focus was not clearly visible, being covered like a fire covered by ashes. Purport, the distinction between Rajaguna and Satvaguna is explained in this verse. Although the king was very upright, advanced in political science and governmental management, he was nonetheless in the moment of passion, and therefore, due to slight agitation, he became angry. Jatabharat, despite all kinds of injustice endured, because of his deaf and dumb display, remained silent by the strength of his spiritual advancement. Nonetheless, his Brahman effulgence was indistinctly visible in his person. King Rahugana told Jatabharat, "How troublesome this is, my dear brother. You certainly appear very fatigued because you have carried this palanquin alone without assistance for a long time and for a long distance. Besides that, in your old age, you have become greatly troubled, my dear friend. I see that you are not very firm nor very strong and stout on your fellow carriers cooperating with you." In this way, the king criticized Jatabharat with sarcastic words. Yet, despite being criticized in this way, Jatabharat had no bodily conception of the situation, knew that he was not the body, or he had attained the spiritual identity. He was neither fat, lean, nor thin, nor he had anything to do with the lump of matter, a combination of the five gross and three subtle elements. He had nothing to do with the material body in his hand, two hands and legs. In other words, he had completely realized the spiritual identity. He was, therefore, unaffected by the sarcastic criticism of the king. Without saying anything, carried the palanquin as before. Purport, Jatabharat was completely liberated. He did not care when the dacoits attempted to kill his body. You know, he certainly was not the body. Even if the body was killed, he would not have cared, for he was thoroughly convinced of the proposition found in Bhagavad Gita, Nahanite Hanumane Sarire. He knew that he could not be killed even if his body was killed. Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of God and his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits, therefore he was saved by the mercy of Krishna, and the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. This body was very stout and strong, in sound condition, quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from bodily deception, sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. The body is created according to one's karma, and material nature supplies the ingredients for the development of a certain type of body. The soul the body covers is different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit of soul. The Vedic conjunction is a sangho kalyam purusha. The spirit of soul is always unaffected by material arrangements. So this is the story of King Rahugana and Jatabharat. This is where the teachings on Jatabharat are found. We see here that the king, since he was a king, had some qualification. At the same time, he did not recognize the nature of Jatabharat, which was not his fault in one sense, because no one understood the nature of Jatabharat, since he disguised his true nature from everyone. So he was not a Vaishya, Brahmin, Kshatriya, or a Sudra. He was actually transcendental to the material world. So he's not in the gunas at all. And Rahugana, on the other hand, was in the gunas. And since he was a kshatriya, he was very fittingly displayed his
passionate nature.
Of course, the true Kshatriya must also give respect to those who are superior, that is, the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. That is the true meaning of a king or a Kshatriya. In this case, of course, because Jatvara was covered, he made a mistake. And he thought he was some low-born person. And thus he began to scold him when Jatvara was not carrying the palanquin properly. So he scolded him with sarcastic words. So of course, sarcasm means that you say something but you mean the opposite. And that way he criticizes. So in this case, he says, "Oh, you are so old, and you are not very strong, you are very weak," and whatever, like this. Whereas Jatvara was very young, and he was very strong. So in this way, he makes it, the king makes excuses for Jatvara. "So I completely understand that because you're so old, and you're weak, and whatever, and you've been walking for a long time, you cannot carry this palanquin properly." So this is a criticism to show that he was young and he was very strong and he had not been carrying the palanquin for a long time. And so he shouldn't be stumbling around like this. So the reason for this problem was that Jatvara did not want to step on the ants and other insects on the ground, and therefore he was avoiding these insects when he was carrying the load, and this created disturbance in the progress of the palanquin. So in this sense, Jatvara could not suppress some of his qualities, his quality of being compassionate to all living entities. So when the king scolded him, Jatvara did not become angry. He was rather indifferent. Now the king's motive, of course, was to chastise him and therefore put fear in him and correct him. Jatvara, on the other hand, was not afraid at all, nor was he at all insulted by those remarks. On the other hand, he was very, very calm. And this again showed his superior nature. So because he did not identify with the material body, his identity as a sudra or anything, the words of the king had no real meaning for him. So therefore, whether the king called him young or old didn't really matter, because that belonged to the body. Whether he was strong or weak, that also didn't matter, because that's also to do with the body. Whether he's carrying the palanquin or not carrying the palanquin for a long time also has to do with simply the body. So Jatvara was completely identifying with his atma, not the body at all. And therefore all these words of insult had no meaning for him. They were useless words. So the king thought he was rather clever in criticizing Jatvara in this way. But as we will see, Jatvara later replies and defeats all of the king's words from a higher level. This is similar to Krishna replying to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna gives many arguments for not fighting the war. And then in chapter 2, Krishna defeats all these arguments by saying, "You're not the body anyway." So all these arguments become useless at that point, because all of Arjuna's arguments are based upon the body. Have to kill people, and people get killed, or I kill people, or people kill me. There's sinful activity involved in all of this. Whatever. We have relatives in the battle. So all of this has to do with material identity. Killing belongs to the body, relationships belong to the body, not the soul. So, a similar type of approach is taken here by Jatvara when he replies to the king later on. So, this is simply the meaning and then the teachings of Jatvara goes on So these are the very significant where Jatvaraj instructs the king about not being a material body. This, of course, is only one level. To understand we're not the body is very significant, but it is not the ultimate. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins by telling Arjuna, you're not the material body, but later on, in chapter 7 to 12, then he explains then that higher than the jiva is the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is the most important object of knowledge for the jiva, not the atma. So, in this way, Jatvara also takes a gradual approach and begins by saying you're not the body, you're the soul, etc. Before giving a higher understanding of the Supreme Lord. Previously, Jatvara hid his identity because he did not want to develop any attachments to his family members, etc. And he was completely detached from material body and everything else. And therefore, everyone treated him as a fool, a madman, or whatever. In spite of that, the Lord protected him. So we see that he was offered to Kali, and the dacoits were killed instead of him. So by the arrangement of the Lord, he was protected in this case. So from that we see that Jatvara was not simply a self-realized soul. He was actually the object of affection for the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord personally protected him. So here again, Jatvara, this of course is after he escaped the death from the dacoits. He was forced to carry a palanquin of the king because he didn't recognize him. So in this case, the threat is not so much, not a death threat. Nevertheless, he was forced to do this type of labor for the king and get insulted by the king. In this case, it wasn't a question of the Lord having to save him. It became a case of Jatvara finally opening his mouth and speaking and giving instructions to the king. So before this point, Jatvara never spoke a word. He never spoke to his father, never spoke to any family members at all. Everyone thought, oh, he can't speak. Now, out of his great mercy to this king who insulted him, he began to speak. So this shows the great mercy of the devotee. In spite of the aparad of King Rugana, still he spoke and gave teachings to him. We see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives teachings to Arjuna because Arjuna is a friend. And Arjuna requests him. So here we have Rahugana insulting Jatvara, but Jatvara still, he gives him nice instructions. So this shows the very magnanimous quality in Jatvara that he was willing to give instructions to this king who had insulted him. Why? Because he is not attached to the material body. He is not affected by any of these insults of the king. In Bhagavad Gita, we see in chapter 2, Krishna explains that the sthiti pragya is situated in the self and satisfied in the self. And he is unaffected by praise or by criticism. He is unaffected by happiness and distress, and by good and bad in the material world. People attack him, he doesn't care. People criticize him, he doesn't mind it. He's completely calm. So that is for an atma-gyani, he is calm because he realizes he's not the body. So what to speak of the devotee of the Lord, who is very elevated. He is connected with the Supreme Lord. Automatically he is separated from material identity. So not only he doesn't feel any insult when he gets insulted, he is even willing to give instructions if the person feels the person is qualified for instructions. So he's very merciful to those persons in the material world who need instructions. So therefore he began speaking to Maharaj Rahugana. And fortunately, Rahugana understood the instructions finally and made spiritual advancement. So here we see that Jatvarat not only isolated himself from everybody, at the appropriate time, he was willing to give instructions and give mercy. So this shows that he was not simply detached from the material world, but he was very compassionate to the fallen souls of the world, and therefore he gave instructions in this manner.
This shows that Ravana was very quiet in the beginning. When he was offended, he did not show mercy to the He could show mercy to his brothers and father also.
Well, that is the choice of the devotee. The devotee has a choice of whether he wants to show mercy at what time, whatever. So that was his choice, that's all. So he chose a significant point to reveal his true nature.
Yeah, I don't know.